People give advice all the time. We rarely take it. People recommend restaurants and films and vacation spots and music and books. We're amenable to recommendations. This week, the first week of the Fall Writing Challenge that causes November angst for so many writers, we have four recommendations to improve your writing world. And they will, truly. Welcome to The Write Focus, a podcast for writers, from newbies to veterans and everyone in between. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. We're hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Eddie Runes, all from Writers Inc. Books. Each episode lasts as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Listen for links to show notes and resources at the end of our broadcast. Now, on to the episode. First, let's check in with the Fall Writing Challenge. It's day three, 1,667 words per day times three. That's 5,001 words. Did you achieve that? Since we have disruptions and distractors coming up, such as Thanksgiving, our best practice should be at least 2,000 words per day as our minimum. Day three times 2,000 words per day equals 6,000 words. See, that's not much more than the minimum. We can do this. Just write and write and write. By the end of the day, on Saturday, November 6, 6 days times 2,000 words equals 12,000 words, over one-fifth of the goal. If we're doing the minimum, that's 10,002 words, still over one-fifth of the book. Our focus for today is four books that every writer needs on their reference shelves. Our first book that you need on your shelf is especially appropriate for this fall writing challenge. It's Dean Wesley Smith's Writing Into the Dark, subtitled How to Write a Novel Without an Outline. Dean Wesley Smith will give a lecture on Writing Into the Dark at various writers' conferences. You might find a lecture posted on the internet, but the best is to hold the book in your hands so you can make marginal notes and place sticky notes. I follow his blog. Sometimes he promotes books or Kickstarters. Sometimes he writes a nonfiction book through the blog. His book, Writing a Novel in 7 Days, was originally a blog series. He doesn't explain his writing process for crafting a story, and he should not. That's up to the individual writer. Instead, he blogs about how he managed his time writing and not writing, and other process comments. Writing Into the Dark is an eye-opening book and will change your daily process. Smith's point is that an outline will destroy your own curiosity about the story and will make your writing boring. As toddlers, we listen to stories and absorb plot structures and character development. When we launch into the story, we should allow our subconscious, our creative brain, to surprise us. I experimented with his method before I became a devotee of it. I had a well-outlined novel that was 100 pages into the story and wouldn't advance. Every writing session was a slog. Even I could see the story was boring. Not everything, just several things. Unhappy, I decided to implement Smith's thesis and write into the dark. I abandoned the outline and sketched the next scene for my book. Halfway down the page, a secondary character began talking. Then that character took over the scene, which became draft form rather than a sketch. Excited, I finished the scene. It was good, with surprising elements. I backed up to a boring scene and gave it to that character, then another and another. The scenes improved, and not just because they were new. Then I trashed the rest of my outline. The book wrote itself after that. It contained unexpected angst and surprises, increased the evil of the antagonist, and created two surprising endings, one for the primary, one for my new sub-primary character. Smith doesn't believe in writer's block. He says just to write the next sentence, then the next, and the next. Writer's block can occur when our creative mind loses interest in the story. Writing Into the Dark stops that loss of interest. Our second book for the writing shelf, you've heard me recommend this book before, is Christopher Vogler's The Writer's Journey, subtitled Mythic Structure for Storytellers and Screenwriters. This book is to be read and absorbed. It's divided into two parts. First, mapping the story explains the 7 common archetypes who populate your story: hero, mentor, threshold guardian, Herald, Shapeshifter, Shadow, and Trickster. The second part of the book boils the stages of the hero's journey down to 12 rather than 17. Vogler based his work on Joseph Campbell's monomyth, and the monomyth is based on Carl Jung, who studied archetypes. Vogler says in his book, Campbell's thinking runs parallel to that of Swiss psychologist Carl G. Jung, who wrote about the archetypes, constantly repeating characters or energies which occur in the dreams of all people and the myths of all cultures. Jung suggested that these archetypes reflect different aspects of the human mind, that our personalities divide themselves into these characters to play out the drama of our lives. He noticed a strong correspondence between his patients' dream figures and the common archetypes of mythology. He suggested that both were coming from a deeper source, the collective unconscious of the human race. The repeating characters of world myths such as the young hero, the wise old man or woman, the shapeshifter, and the shadowy antagonist are the same as the figures who appear repeatedly in our dreams and fantasies. That's why myths and most stories constructed on the mythological model have the ring of psychological truth in our minds. Archetypes are flexible character functions rather than rigid character types. Archetypes give us ideas. We build creativity from there. Vogler devotes a chapter to each of the seven common archetypes, exploring the archetype's personality and then function in the story. The mentor, for example, can have seven dramatic functions, including gift-giving, our inventor, our motivator, and then he discusses the eight types of mentors. His 12 stages of the hero's journey, also known as the archetypal story pattern, include ordinary world, call to adventure, refusal of the call, meeting the mentor, crossing the first threshold, test allies and enemies, approach to the inmost cave, supreme ordeal, reward, the road back, the resurrection, and return with the elixir as the 12th stage. When you're a newbie, you need to read and reread Vogler to absorb the information, the 12 stages of the archetypal story pattern, and the seven character archetypes are not maps. They're not written in stone, but what we'll find as we study our own writing, as we study many films, as we study many, many books from modern times to far back into history, is that these do follow that mythological pattern. It just sort of swells up out of us. Newbie writers need to read and reread Vogler to absorb this information, not to follow it religiously, not to stay lockstep with it. To absorb it, and then let it come out of your creative mind in its own way. Dean Wesley Smith wouldn't want you to outline, based on Vogler's 12 stages of the archetypal story pattern. It's definitely, though, a way to check in your revision stage. It can help with pacing and flow of story. The stages, just like the archetypal characters, are flexible, fitting your story to the stages after you write it. Teaches your brain to think sideways as you figure out how your scenes fit the stages. Vogler offers guidance in how to figure this out in the last chapter of the book. He examines Last of the Mohicans and Death Becomes Her. Vogler's book came out in the 1990s. Some people call that old. Actually, it's venerable because the writer's journey is still helpful. No matter what new terms and teachings that people develop, those are all built on archetypes. In that respect, Vogler's very accessible book will never grow old. The third book to have in your writer's shelf is a true reference guide. It's The Writer's Guide to Character Traits by Linda Edelstein. I confess this book is pure reference that I only dip into it. I have never read it cover to cover. I consult it when I'm struggling with character in the revision stages of my writing. If I need to figure out the motivation or the reason a character may be a traitor, into this book I go. Or if I want a different take on an antagonist, I can find information to spark ideas. 13 chapters. First, real people and believable characters, including the influences of roles, situations, and relationships. 23 adult personality types with interpersonal attributes for each. Children and adolescents. Chapter 4, psychological disorders, child to adult, and the early influences that shape personality, criminal type in Chapter 5, Chapter 6, sexual issues, then love, marriage, and other arrangements, creating a family, chapter 9, ordinary and extraordinary events, 10th, physical and mind-body disorders. I'm currently writing a character with memory loss. This section I'll read before I start revision. 11 is career traits, with a special section of the traits of people who select 42 different careers, like engineer versus nurses. Chapter 12, influences of a group, including leaders and group roles, along with the gangs and cults. And the final chapter, appearance, body language, and verbal and nonverbal communication. In the introduction, Edelstein opens with, writers ask me all kinds of questions. What makes a man have an affair? Why would a woman stalk her former lover? How can I learn what motivates a person's behavior? Rarely is there one answer to questions like these. But psychological research can provide vast amounts of data that can help writers, beginners and accomplished writers alike, gather accurate information about personality and behavior in order to create believable and authentic characters. My goal in writing this book, she says, has been to create a friendly reference for just that purpose. It's a crash course in psychology for writers. I describe the inner workings and behaviors of ordinary and not-so-ordinary people in lists, charts, and descriptive paragraphs. All this information is not a substitute for your imagination, but a way to inspire your mind. She has a great index. She talks about gullible people on 3 separate pages. The effects of infertility on people's behaviors. Yep, she has that. What motivates people to be thrill seekers? That too. I can get distracted into other behavior traits when I dip into it. Someday I may read it cover to cover. For now, it's a great reference to keep characters true to life. Finally, the 4th book on your writing reference shelf, I struggled to pick one. I can recommend Deborah Dixon's GMC, Goal, Motivation, and Conflict, Christine Catherine Rush's Discoverability, Kate Wilhelm's Storyteller, all sorts of references for setting, our weapons, our violence, especially if you write mysteries, our action-adventure, costumes, historical eras, and more. But the book I'm going to recommend is this. A novel that you love, a novel that you reread, a story that you sink into and don't surface until you have to. Make that a book you study. On the first page, study the first line, the start of the first scene, how and when the protagonist enters or the antagonist, how and when the conflict starts. Then study the first 3 pages. Look at the action in the sequence, the exposition, descriptions of situation and setting or characters, opinions of the narrating character, the placing of events, the flow of the words, the length of paragraphs, the length of sentences. How long do the descriptions go on? When do the descriptions break? Go to the 15th and then 50th and the 150th page and do the same thing. Find your favorite scene. Examine it. How do the characters interact? What are their opinions? Descriptions of them. What is happening? Why is it happening? How is that happening explained? What led into the scene? What comes after? Study it for pacing and flow. What plot information is given? What conflict information? What character revelation occurs? Now study the final 2 conflict scenes in exactly the same way and study the concluding scene. Take notes. Seriously, you're teaching yourself. Look at your current work in progress. What lessons from your favorite book can you apply to your book? Not the ideas or the words. It's how the writer presented ideas through words that we're after. That last is a radical recommendation, I know. You will find it helpful to study several books. Pick bestsellers in your genre and subgenre. Next week, we have 3 essential writing tools that every writer needs to have at their desk. The rather unexpected inspiration for this week comes to us from 2 Johns. John Irving, first, said, a writer's job is to imagine everything so personally that the fiction is as vivid as memories. The second inspiration comes from John Barth. Like every writer's professional life, mine is spent doing a kind of dreaming. From the time I sit down at the desk and pick up my faithful fountain pen until the time I put the stuff on the Macintosh, which is a kind of waking up. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Rooms, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes and resource links for these and other episodes are at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Our music is licensed through Audio Jungle. It's called Background Music Logo, created by Alexander Polishchuk, known on Audio Jungle as Plastic 3. The music comes in 5 different iterations. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com if you have speculations, comments, or questions. When you find value in our content, share with your writing friends or write a review. We're small beans here. We don't have the advertising budget of the big peeps, and you can make a difference. And whatever occurs, write on.